Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Prithu
Prithu
Kirte
Kirte
Prithor
Prithor
Bhuyat
Bhuyat
Dari
Dari
Ekona Shatta
Ekona Shatta
Pratu
Pratu
Halam
Halam
Te
Te
Pratubi
Pratubi
Svistar
Svistar
Yad
Yad
Bhavan
Bhavan
Moksha
Moksha Moksha
Dharmavit
Dharmavit
Pritukirte Pritur Bhuyat
Pritukirte Pritur Bhuyat
Tari Ona Satat Pratu
Tari Ona Satat Pratu
Alam Te Pratu Peace Vistar
Alam Te Pratu Peace Vistar
Yat Bhavan Moksha Dharma Vit
Yat Bhavan Moksha Dharma Vit
Pratu Kirte Pratu Bhuyat
Pratu Kirte Pratu Bhuyat
Tari Ona Satat Pratu
Tari Ona Satat Pratu
Alam Te Pratu Swistar
Alamte Kratupi Swistar
Yad Bhavan Moksha Dharma Vin
Yad Bhavan Moksha Dharma Vin
Pitukirte Pitur Bhuyat
Pitukirte Pitur Bhuyat
Tahi Guna Satak Pratu
Tahi Guna Satak Pratu
Alamte Kratupi Swistar
Alamte Kratupi Swistar
Yad Bhavan Moksha Dharma Vin
Yad Bhavan Moksha Dharma Vin
Pitu kirte pito bhuya
Pitu kirte pito bhuya
Tari ekona shatratu
Tari ekona shatratu
Alam te kratubi swistai
Alam te kratubi swistai
Yadbhava moksha dharma vi
Yadbhava moksha dharma vi Pitu kirte pito bhuya
Pitu kirte pito bhuya
Tari ekona shatratu
Tari ekona
Swiste
Yad
Bhavan Moksha Dharma Vit
Yad Bhavan Moksha Dharma Vit
Pitu Kirte Pitu Bhuyat Tari Kuna Shatra Kratu Lampe Kratu Vishwiste Yad Bhavan Moksha Dharma Vit Kirte Pitur Bhuyat Tari Kona Shata Kratu Alam Te Kratu Vishishte Yad Bhavan Moksha Dharma Vit
Mataji
Pitur Kirte Pitur Bhuyat Tari Kona Shata Kratu Namte Kapati Swiste Yadbhavan Moksha Dharma Vit Pitu Kirte Pitu Bhuyat Tari Kona Shata Kratu Namte Kapati Swiste Yadbhavan Moksha Dharma Vit
Pritukirte
Pritukirte
of wide renown
of wide renown
Prito
Prito
of King Prithu
King Prithu
Bhuyat
Bhuyat
let it be
let it be
Tarhi
Tarhi
therefore
therefore
Ekona Satakratu
Ekona Satakratu
he who performed 99 yajnas
he who performed 99 yajnas
Alam
Alam.
There is nothing to be gained.
There is nothing to be gained.
Te.
Te.
Of you.
Of you.
Kratubi.
Kratubi.
By performing sacrifices.
By performing sacrifices.
Suishtai.
Suishtai.
Well performed.
Well performed.
Yet.
Because.
Bhavan. Yourself. Moksha Dharma Vid. The knower of the path of liberation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace in the Robha. Let there be only 99 sacrificial performances for Maharaj Prithu, Lord Brahma concluded. Lord Brahma then turned toward Maharaj Prithu and informed him that since he was thoroughly aware of the path of liberation, what was the use in performing more sacrifices? Purport. Lord Brahma came down to pacify King Prithu regarding his continual performance of 100 sacrifices. King Prithu was determined to perform 100 sacrifices, and King Indra took this very seriously because Indra himself was known as the performer of 100 sacrifices. Just as it is the nature of all living entities within this material world to become envious of their competitors, King Indra, although King of Heaven, was also envious of King Prithu. Therefore, he wanted to stop him from performing 100 sacrifices. Actually, there was great competition, and King Indra, to satisfy his senses, began to invent so many irreligious systems to obstruct King Prithu. To stop these irreligious inventions, Lord Brahma personally appeared in the sacrificial arena. As far as Maharaj Prithu was concerned, he was a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it was not necessary for him to perform the prescribed Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Such ceremonies are known as karma, and there is no need for a devotee in the transcendental position to execute them. As the ideal king, however, it was King Prithu's duty to perform sacrifices. A compromise was therefore to be worked out. By the blessings of Lord Brahma, King Prithu will become more famous than King Indra. Thus, Prithu's determination to perform 100 sacrifices was indirectly fulfilled by the blessings of Lord Brahma. Om Jnana Tamanandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshuram Malitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Mukham Krodha Vachalam Pramunam Hayate Gurim Yat Kripataraham Vande Sri Gurum Dhinadharanam Vanchakapatvibhyascha Kripasindhu Devacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So King Indra, he's an interesting character. Quite often he gets himself in trouble due to some misunderstandings. It's like he so much disturbed the residents of Vrindavan. They were offering worship to him. And then Krishna, he thought that the worship should be given to Govardhan Hill instead, since so much service is being done to the devotees of Vrindavan, Govardhan Hill. It's described that when Krishna was speaking to Nanda Maharaj, convincing him to worship Govardhan Hill, there was one lady, elderly gopi. And she said when Krishna was speaking, it was just like nectar flowing from his mouth. This is mentioned in the Nectar Devotion. So Krishna is so wonderful, just his speaking is just, it's nectar. And we get some glimpse of that reading Bhagavad Gita, is the transcendental teachings of Krishna. So Krishna convinced him. Now this is a tradition. This has been going on for who knows how long. This had been going on. Worship of Indra, annually. So he convinced them. And they started worshiping Govardhan Hill. And Indra, he couldn't appreciate this. Were they listening to this talkative boy, Krishna? I'll show them. So he sent torrents of rain. For how long? 7 days. And it's described, there was so much rain, it was like pillars coming down. Big anxiety. So what did they do? What did all the residents of Vrindavan do? They called out to Krishna. Krishna, help! So this is what devotees do. There's some difficulty, they take shelter of Krishna. And therefore, difficulty is a blessing in disguise. Vipida sutta sasva tatra tatra jagatguru bhavato das nyamyata apna bhavitas. Queen Kunti, she prays, please, please, Krishna, give me calamity. How many of us pray like that? That's a very exalted prayer. Please, please, Krishna, give me difficulty, give me calamity. Because when difficulties come, then I take shelter of you. And by taking shelter of you, then I overcome the repetition of birth and death. So the residents of Vrindavan, there was always some difficulty, some demons coming, this and that. They would always take shelter of Krishna. So Krishna, he exhibited his greatness by lifting Govardhan Hill. Huge umbrella, very big umbrella. This is the world's biggest umbrella, protected all the residents of Vrindavan. And such a nice pastime. See, all the residents of Vrindavan, they always wanted to be with Krishna. But sometimes Krishna, he would leave his mother's home and he would go and he would herd the cows. And Mother Yasoda's lamenting, Nandamara's are lamenting, the gopis are lamenting, because he's not in Vrindavan, he's out in the forest. Now, of course, the cowherd boys, they're in ecstasy. They're with Krishna, and they're herding the cows, and they're playing games, and wrestling, and doing so many wonderful pastimes. But then Krishna goes home, and then the cowherd boys, they go to their home, Krishna goes, so they're lamenting, they can't be with Krishna. So they all wanted to be with Krishna, all the time. So this special period, 7 days, all the residents of Vrindavan were with Krishna for 7 days. So it was this very, very special week, special 7 days for all the residents of Vrindavan. And no one slept. No one ate. Everybody was just drinking the nectar of darshan of Krishna. So then after that 7 days, Indra thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. Made a blunder. So he stopped at the rains and he came down with, who was his carrier?
Airam.
And the cow, Surabhi cow, came and bathed Krishna. And Indra started offering wonderful prayers to Krishna, begging for forgiveness. So, of course, Indra's a great devotee. As many demigods are. But he's a Sakama devotee. He's a devotee, he wants to serve Krishna, but serve Krishna in his way. Like those pure devotees, they just want to serve Krishna however Krishna wants them to serve. There's other devotees, they want to serve Krishna, but the way they want to serve. Not the way Krishna wants to serve. But they're still devotees. So, Srila Prabhupada, he's come to teach us that we should serve Krishna the way he wants us to serve. Not the way we want to serve. Yeah. And this is the best way to serve Krishna. One should render transcendental living service unto to the Lord, which is unmotivated and uninterrupted, free of the tendency to enjoy the fruits of one's activities or mental speculation. So this is pure devotional service, and this is a great challenge for all of us. There's no greater challenge that any of us will face in this life than to become a pure devotee of Krishna, just acting for the pleasure of Krishna. So how does Krishna want us to serve him? Well, it's stated, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. We should all hear about Krishna, hear his glories. And simply by hearing the glories of Krishna, we get purified. It's described that there's two types of purity. One purity is where one is so pure that everything he does is pure. So that's Krishna to an unlimited degree. Everything he does is pure. Nothing he does is contaminated. Although one may argue, well, Krishna, sometimes he steals butter. So that's not very pure. He's makanchor. He's a thief. So since when is a thief pure? But Krishna, he steals not because he needs butter, but he steals to please his devotees. Because this gives great pleasure to the devotees to see Krishna stealing. There's one pastime, Krishna, he was in Vrindavan and he was regularly stealing from one gopi's house. But she couldn't catch him. And she was just thinking, how to catch this guy? How to catch him? So one time, he was there stealing. And she caught him. And she thought, all right, now I got you. She said, Krishna, now you're going to get it. I've been trying to catch you for so long, now I finally caught you. You're going to get it now. You're going to get punished. I'm going to take you to your mother and you're going to get it. So he's in anxiety. Uh-oh. So she took him to Mother Yasoda, knocked on the door. Oi, Mother Yasoda, I caught your son stealing in my house. He's been doing it so long, now I've caught him. You have to punish him. So Mother Yasoda comes to the door. Mother, what are you saying? Your son here, he's been stealing in my home. It's butter, and now I've caught him. You have to punish him. It's too much. She looks down and says, Maharaji, I think you've been working too hard. You don't have Krishna. This is your own son. You're holding your own son's hand. You should go home and take some rest. You're working too hard. She looks down. Ah! Where's Krishna? Where did he go? Oh, Maharaji, it's okay. It's okay, I understand. I work hard sometimes too. It's okay. Go, relax, take it easy. Working too hard. Well, sorry, Mother Yasoda. I don't know what happened. So then, walking away. And then Krishna turns into Krishna again. And he looks up at her. Says, Maharaji, if you ever do that again, I'm going to turn into your husband. Ah! She runs away. So, then she likes this. All the residents of Vrindavan, they like this. Krishna's stealing and So many wonderful things. And another time, Krishna, he told Yudhisthira. Now Yudhisthira, he is the emblem of honesty. He is known as the one who had never told a lie. Ajata Satyasaya. So he was famous as the one who never told a lie. Of course, that doesn't say much for everybody else. So there was an amazing pastime where this, of course, this battle of Kurukshetra was to take place. And Arjuna nor Duryodhana had. No, actually, this is different. Yeah, Arjuna nor Duryodhana. Oh no, this is something different. So what happened is Dronacharya he took this vow that he would only stop fighting when he hears that his son Ashwatthama is dead. So Dronacharya was fighting so in such a powerful way that everybody's thinking, we're going to lose today. He's so powerful, we can't stop him. So then Krishna told Yudhisthira, you go and you tell him that Ashwatthama is dead. So Yudhisthira, he hesitated because he had never told a lie before. And because he hesitated in following the order of Krishna, his chariot hit the ground. Up to that point, he was like a demigod. And his chariot was not touching the ground. But as soon as he hesitated, his chariot crashed to the ground. And it's described that he had to see hell also. But then he went and he said to Dronacharya, Ashwatthama, the elephant, is dead. Because there really was an elephant named Ashwatthama that was dead. So then he stopped fighting when he heard that. So one may say, well, what kind of morality is this? God's telling the most honest person to lie. But why did Krishna do it? To protect his devotees. He never does anything any selfish. He's only acting for his devotees. He wants to serve his devotees. It's like devotees, they just want to serve Krishna. So Krishna, he wants to serve his devotees. It's like there's an instance where Jayadeva Goswami, he was writing, and it came to his mind that Krishna becomes the servant of Srimati Radharani. And it just didn't sit right. Because everybody wants to serve Krishna. So he thought, well, let me think about this. So he decided to go and bathe in the Ganges and meditate on it. So he did that, and when he got back, he noticed that his wife was honoring prasadam. He said, David, what's happening? This is the first time I've ever seen this. You're honoring prasadam, but I haven't honored prasadam. She said, why are you saying that? You said you're going to go bathe in the Ganges. You went and you bathed in the Ganges. You came back. You said you're going to do a little writing. You went and you did a little writing. You came back. You honored prasadam. Then you stepped out, and now you're saying you didn't honor prasadam? What's happening? He's like, what? I'm still hungry. I didn't eat. So then he said, I went in and I wrote something. So he went in to his room, and written in golden letters, Krishna becomes the servant of Srimati Radharani. So when he saw that, he was in ecstasy. He was in ecstasy. Krishna came, disguised as me. So he went in and he told his wife, that wasn't me. That was Krishna. He came and he wrote in my pavement in golden letters. And you were serving Krishna, Prasada. He was sitting here, you served Krishna Prasada. And now you're eating his remnants. Is there any left? So, Krishna likes to serve his devotees. Of course, devotees like to serve Krishna. So that's what it's all about, spiritual life. It's all about service. And Krishna says, Yaidam paramam guyam mad bhakti sabhrasas. Bhakti mayam param kritva mami vaisati samsa. Nacha tazma manushis. Question make. He says, anybody that is explaining this teaching of Bhagavad Gita, this very confidential knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to my devotees, is very dear to me. And there'll never be anyone more dear to me than that person. And just before that, he says, the Bhagavad Gita should not be given to those who are not austere, who are not devoted, who are not engaged in devotion service. But we're giving Bhagavad Gita to people that aren't devoted, they're not engaged in devotion service, they're not austere. So why? Why are we doing that? In the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 29, purport, Prabhupada explains why. Because the devotees of the Lord know the actual purpose of the Lord. And Prabhupada explains in the purport there also why Krishna didn't want us to approach people that were not devoted, who were not engaged in devotional service, who are not austere. Prabhupada says that Krishna doesn't want to see his devotees waste their time. So just see how kind Krishna is. You know, he wants the Bhagavad Gita given to everybody. But he doesn't want to see his devotees wasting time with these non-devotees who have no interest in spiritual life. But Prabhupada says, but the devotee knows the purpose of the Lord. So he'll even take that inconvenience of approaching people that aren't interested and try to give them Bhagavad Gita. So this is the inner meaning of why we disobey that order of Krishna. We're approaching people that aren't interested, not devoted, not us. Because even though they're not devoted, they're not austere, they can become devoted. They can engage in devotional service. Just like all of us, I assume, weren't engaged in devotional service at one point. And now we got these books, and now we're engaged in devotional service. So this is the mercy of Krishna. This is the mercy of the pure devotee. So we should appreciate this transcendental arrangement. I was just reading in the Srimad Bhagavatam that this is one of the characteristics of a devotee is that they are always appreciating Krishna. Krishna gives us so much. But sometimes we take it for granted. There's a statement that Krishna, he gives and he gives and he gives and then he forgives. And we get and we get and we get and we forget. This is the problem. So Krishna is so kind, he's always forgiving. Always forgiving. And we're such rascals, we're always forgetting. So we should appreciate everything that we're getting. Just like this beautiful temple, it's so nice. So we should appreciate, you know, that Krishna inspired the architects with the intelligence to come up with this nice idea, beautiful temple for Krishna. We should appreciate the marble. Krishna's given us this marble, you know, chandelier, everything is being given to us by Krishna. The sincerity of the devotees that had the determination to build this temple is given by Krishna. Everything is given to us by Krishna. So we should appreciate. And we should be grateful. If we're not grateful, then we're great fools. Better to be grateful than a great fool. Prabhupada said that you cannot repay me for what I've given to you. I've given you Krishna. That's the greatest thing that you could achieve, is Krishna. He said, but if you want to try, if you want to try to repay me, then distribute books. As it's stated here in this statement, that the distribution of books is our, what is it, most important activity. So this is the most important activity. Why? Because sarva sukhino bhavantu. Our mission is to try to help everyone become happy. That's our mission. What a nice mission. To get everyone to become happy. There's so much suffering in the material world. So that's a big challenge. That's another big challenge. The big challenge to engage in pure devotional service, another big challenge to help everyone become happy. But at least we should try. Try our best, hope for the best, and Krishna does the rest. We have to try our best. But this is what Prabhupada focused on. This is what he wanted everybody to hear about Krishna. The glories of Krishna. He wanted everybody to appreciate the glories of Krishna. And when Prabhupada was here, every Saturday, all the devotees would go out on book distribution. Because this is what Prabhupada wanted. He wanted everybody to hear about Krishna. So, of course, still book distribution is very, it's a very important activity. But when Prabhupada was here, he had everybody going out. And therefore he wrote a letter once to all the devotees of one temple, saying that our temples are not places for eating and sleeping, but they are bases from where we send out our soldiers to fight against Maya. And to fight against Maya means to drop hundreds and thousands and millions of books into the laps of the conditioned souls. Just as during wartime, bombs falling from the sky like anything. So Prabhupada had this this kshatriya mood. And he said preachers they have three moods. Of course they have the mood of a brahmana, mostly, because we're giving knowledge. We're giving the highest knowledge. And this is what brahmins do. They give out knowledge. And of course, this knowledge is not just ordinary knowledge. This is the highest knowledge, the absolute truth, by which people can understand who they are, what the goal of life is, how to be happy. But he said, devotees also, the preachers also have the mood of a kshatriya, because you got to be powerful, you got to be strong. Especially in Kali Yuga, this is Maya's kingdom. And she's got a very strong hold on society. So one has to be very strong spiritually to convince people to take Prabhupada's books and to follow the teachings. So where does this strength come from? This strength comes from Srila Prabhupada and from Krishna. Just like imagine if there was one of these wars, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago where they would actually fight. You know, now there's a war and they shoot bombs from planes and they shoot rifles, but thousands of years ago they would actually go out, they would fight. You know, they were strong, powerful kshatriyas, warriors. And they would have their armor on, and they were super good shape. You know, and they'd have their shield and they'd have some weapon, either some sword or some type of weapon. So it was a real, these are real wars. So imagine, you know, some guy goes out there, some kshatriya goes out there. You know, all the others have their armor on, they got their weapons, they got their shields, and one guy goes out there and all he has on is a gumsho. Just a gumsho. What is the hope? And what is the chance of his having any success in defeating any of the other warriors? He's just wearing a gumsho. Not possible. He's going to be knocked down in no time. So if we try to go out through stupid books preaching and we're not hearing and chanting, if we don't have that, then it's like going out in a war with a gumsho. No. To go out and distribute books to preach, we have to be prepared. And that means sadhana bhakti. We have to hear. We have to read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to chant good japa. And this is where we get our strength. And then Prabhupada said also, the book distributors, they have the mood of a vaishya, because we're selling things. We're trying to sell books and get donations. So all three are there. So this is what Prabhupada wanted, to distribute these books in the mood of mostly a Brahmana, Kshatriya, and a Vaishya. And he wanted it to continue. He once told Giriraj late at night one time, or he actually asked Giriraj, will this movement be able to continue? So that's a heavy thing for your spiritual master to ask to a disciple. Yes, Prabhupada, it'll continue. And Prabhupada said it needs two things. Anybody know?
Intelligence.
Intelligence and organization. Yes. These two things are needed. So we have to continue what Prabhupada has established. Prabhupada said that my disciples, they have two diseases. One is they are not enough afraid of Maya. Two, they like to change things. So we shouldn't change what Prabhupada has established. Prabhupada, when he was here, it was emphasized that devotees should dedicate some of their time to distributing books. We shouldn't change that. We should all dedicate some time. Of course, we all have some service. But when Prabhupada was here, he had everybody distributing books at some period of the week. Everybody go out on Saturday. Or if they couldn't do it on Saturday, they could do it another time. This movement is built on book distribution, so we shouldn't change that. He had one disciple who wanted to change one thing. He said, "Prabhupada, you know, this movement is so nice. It's so attractive. But it can grow in a much, much bigger way if we could have 3 regular principles instead of 4. If we can just have no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, and just stop it there, our movement would grow like anything." What do you think, Prabhupada? You know, I'm not interested in having many stars, flickering stars. If I can just have one moon, if I can just have one disciple that follows sincerely the instructions that I've given, then it's a success. And he was still trying to convince Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, you know, we could grow like anything. No, not interested. If this is what you want, you go and you start your own movement. But this is what I want. Purity is the first. So I mentioned to you about these two purities. Another purity is that Krishna is so pure that anybody that comes in contact with him gets purified. So one purity, where he's so pure that everything he does is pure. The other one is that anyone that comes in contact with a pure person also gets purified. So this is also Krishna to an unlimited degree. However one comes in contact with Krishna gets purified. Whether it's prasadam, the holy name, the instructions Krishna gives, his devotees, however one comes in contact with Krishna, they get purified. They may not know it. Agyata Sukriti. Sometimes people, they take prasad, they don't know what they're taking. Or they hear the holy name. They don't know that they're getting affected. They're getting purified. Prabhupada said, they just touch a book. They benefit, they get purified. So in so many ways, people get purified by coming in contact with Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Prabhupada said, if they just see a Sankirtan devotee, they get purified. So in so many ways, when we go out distributing books, people benefit. They touch a book, they benefit. They see the Sankirtan devotee, they benefit. What to speak if they take a book, they give a donation, they take it home, they read it. Srila Prabhupada, he once said, this movement can't be stopped. It's too late. It's too late. Why? Because the books are out there. Just a few months ago, we crossed the 500 million books being distributed on this planet. What do you vote? 500 million. So Prabhupada said it's too late. The books are already out there. And I'll tell you one story, something that happened in Russia. Somehow one man, he got one of Prabhupada's books. And he was reading it. And he liked it so much. He read it 3 times. And in that book that he read, Prabhupada mentioned that this knowledge is so important that it should be distributed throughout the world. It's so important. So this man, he was a businessman, so he had some money, so he was thinking, this knowledge is so nice. I should distribute some of this knowledge. So he went to the local printer and he got 200 books printed. And he was distributing books. So some Sankirtan devotees, traveling around, they came to the city that he was distributing. And as they were distributing it, some people said, no, I already have one of these books.
Oh,
okay, I guess there's already some Sankirtan devotees here. So they're distributing, continue distributing. And finally they come across this person that's distributing books. And they saw him, they went up to him and said, oh, Hari Bo Prabhu. And he said, Hari Bo Prabhu, what's that? You're distributing books and you don't know Hari Bo Prabhu? What temple are you from? Temple? There's temples? Of course there's temples. You're distributing books, you don't know about temples? You don't know Hari Bo Prabhu? What is this? How is this? How are you distributing books? How is this? Well, I got this book somehow and I was reading it. It's a nice book. So in the book it said this knowledge should be distributed. So I went and I got 200 books printed and I'm distributing them. And the book distributors, their jaw just like hit the ground, like, I can't believe it. You never met a devotee and you're distributing books. Said, yeah. So then they gave him the address of the temple, nearest temple nearby, so he visited the temple. Of course, now he's a devotee, distributing books, you know, years. So this shows, it's too late. He never met a devotee, never took prasadam, knew nothing, became a book distributor. So, it's too late. Prabhupada said, if the authorities knew what I was going to do, when I entered America, they would have killed me. Because by Prabhupada's going there, so many thousands and thousands and thousands of people became vegetarian. Stopped taking intoxication. So many sinful activities, they stopped. I recently read that there's something like over 20 million vegetarians now in America. So this, when Prabhupada went there, people didn't even know what a vegetarian is. What's a vegetarian? There was no vegetarians practically. What do you eat? Carrots? Cabbage? So Prabhupada made major changes in the world. So we should help him. Let's spread this knowledge more. There's people here in Nairobi that are looking for Krishna. They're looking for the truth. There's so many other movements out there that are also trying to spread their message. But we have the highest knowledge. There is no truth superior to what Krishna has given us. So we have to give out the highest truth. Okay, any question or comment? Yes, Mataji. I didn't catch that last part.
In a sense, we don't want to become pundits. We want to be able to understand the book rather than go out and distribute. I mean, it's not just Nairobi. I think it's like a trend. Most places where I want to be a pundit first, then maybe I'll go and distribute the book. But the proper start is that whether you do or not, you go out and distribute the book. So
yes.
That's going wrong with our
I've heard that. And one interesting thing happened. There was one brahmachari in America who was a very successful book distributor. He would go and he was selling sets all around America. And at one point he just decided to go to Vrindavan and just stop preaching. So I asked him, Prabhu, you're such a good preacher, book distributor, why don't you distribute books? He said, well, let me get purified first and then I'll go out and distribute books. But unfortunately he fell down. So I was thinking, if you were to continue distributing books, you know, this is also a way to get purified. So, of course, we want to know the books. It's important. But when you go out and you distribute books, you're going beyond that. You're actually living the books. The books come alive when you preach. Because we have to go out, we're trying to convince people that, hey, you're spirit soul, you're not that body. And we have to also live the teachings. We have to be tolerant. Tikshava Karunika Surda Sarvadehina. So, to know the books is nice. But to know the books and to give the books out, that's so much nicer. So much nicer. Because Krishna is, he's much more pleased. He wants us to know the books, of course, to know the philosophy. But he wants everybody to know the philosophy. It's there. Everybody is the eternal servant of Krishna. Samam pasyam hi sarvada samavastam isvam nahi nasya anatma tatyati palam. Within the hearts of all living entities is the super soul and the soul. And they've just forgotten. They've forgotten that they're the eternal servants of Krishna. That Krishna is there with them. Wherever they go, Krishna is there. So we want to remind them, hey, Krishna is with you. You're a spirit soul. You're looking for happiness, but the happiness is right there. Krishna is there with you. Super soul is there. You just have to turn to super soul. Stop looking all over the other places. It's like in the Bhagavatam, there's a statement that there was one deer that was looking for water, but in ignorance, the deer didn't know that the water is very nearby. It's just covered by the grass. You can't see it. And then he goes off and dies of thirst. Didn't know. So people don't know. The super soul is right there. The source of unlimited happiness is right there. But they're looking all over other places, trying to get some material enjoyment. So we're there to help them, to help remind them. You want happiness, but he's right there. Just turn to Krishna. Turn to the super soul. Serve him, and you'll be happy. So, and this will give us happiness. To give Krishna to others will increase our happiness. It's a win-win situation, giving Krishna out to others. We benefit, they benefit, Krishna is pleased, Prabhupada is pleased. Can't lose. Okay? Well, you're filled with questions, okay? Yes, thank you very much. Nice realization. No, that's a statement. That's not a, you're not asking. If you're appreciating Krishna, then naturally you'll appreciate devotees. Naturally. Because devotees are connected to Krishna. And if you're appreciating devotees, devotees are so nice. They're so such gentlemen, so kind. That's because they're connected to Krishna, so naturally you'll appreciate Krishna. So they're, you know, it's an absolute. can't be separated, Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Thank you for that realization. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.